One of my students tells the story of when he first went to the forest. Been living in a monastery for a couple of years. Felt hemmed in by all the schedules, responsibilities. He wanted to find a place where he could do nothing but meditate all day long, all night long. So finally he had the opportunity. And it turned out his mind would not settle down. It was all over the place. He was very frustrated. But then he realized that one thing he had to learn was patience. The fact that it didn't settle down right away didn't mean that it was not going to settle down. Simply that it was going to take time. And he would have to work through a lot of things to get there. That's what patience is. It's not just waiting for things to happen. It's being persistent in doing what you know is right, even though the results aren't coming very fast, or not very obviously. And he consoled himself, saying that patience wasn't one of the virtues he wanted to have to practice. He thought he'd had enough, but obviously he didn't. So here was his opportunity to develop patience. This is the attitude we have to have as we practice. Because it's not the case that we'll be able to sit and meditate and watch our minds all day long, all night long. We have our other duties in the course of the day. And the other things we have to do is part of the practice. There's generosity, there's virtue. Virtue is not just holding to the precepts, but developing certain qualities of the heart and the character, like contentment and modesty and persistence, learning to be unentangled. Having conviction. So we have to develop the practice on many fronts. And when time comes to, when you can have the opportunity to meditate, you do, of course. But when you can't sit down and meditate and get very detailed awareness of your own mind, you try to figure out, well, what are the qualities I can develop right now? What are the perfections? There's generosity, virtue, relinquishment, renunciation, discernment, persistence, patience or endurance, truth, determination, goodwill, and equanimity. These are all things that we have to develop. If your mind is lacking in any of them, the practice is incomplete. So there are times when you have to work on your determination, you have to work on your equanimity, your patience. You may want to work on other aspects of the path, but you work on the ones where it's obvious you're lacking in something. The events of your life are pushing that lesson onto you. So you learn the lesson. And have a good sportsman-like attitude toward it. This is what it wasn't what I expected to have to learn, but obviously I have to learn something about it. Here's my chance. Now you can develop the right attitude for the ups and downs of the practice, the ups and downs of your opportunities. But at the same time, you can work towards developing an environment for the practice wherever you are, by the attitudes you develop. The Buddha gives a list of five. They're instructions for new monks. But they apply to everybody who practices. The first thing is to be strict with yourself and the precepts. Because as you're holding to the precepts, you're learning some strengths. You're developing good qualities in the mind. Because when you sit down to meditate, you want to watch a mind that has good qualities. You don't have to sit with a mind that's been doing all sorts of trouble, creating all sorts of trouble. Because that's not a pleasant mind to watch. to work on the principles of virtue and generosity, particularly being strict about the precepts. Then there's restraint in your conversation. And John Fung's rule always was, is this sentence necessary to say? If it wasn't necessary, he wouldn't say it. He had lived in the forest, and he said the forest is the big Ajahn. He tells a story one time when he was staying with another monk, and for the most part they were very quiet, speak only when they had to. One day when they were on their arms around, one of the lay persons who lived in the forest was putting food in the other monk's bowl, asked the monk a question, and the monk answered. And Ajahn Fung thought to himself, there was no need to answer that question. Later that day, the other monk had a bad case of diarrhea. And Ajahn Fung attributed it to the fact that he hadn't kept quiet as he should have. Now, we may not live in an environment that enforces things that strictly, but it's good to have some restraint in your conversation. Talk about things that are useful. And sometimes pleasant chatter is useful, but know its limitations and know its boundaries. But otherwise, show some restraint in your conversation. That moves over to another form of restraint, which is restraint of the senses, what you take in. When you're looking at something, ask yourself, why am I looking? When you're listening, why am I listening? This is especially clear when you're getting online. And you click on this, click on that. Why am I clicking here? Why am I clicking there? What am I looking for? Who in my mind is doing the clicking? Greed, aversion, delusion? It's not that you don't look or listen at all. It's just you're very clear about your reasons. And if the reasons are not good, you say, I don't need to look, I don't need to listen. Or you can learn how to look and listen in different ways. When you're looking at something for the purpose of exciting lust, we'll try to look at the other side of that object. Or look at the mind itself that wants lust. What kind of mind is that? To have a clear sense that your engagement with the senses is part of a cause and effect process, and it's going to have an impact on the mind. If you allow greed to do the looking, that's going to strengthen your greed. If you allow anger to do your listening, it's going to strengthen your anger. So restraint means having a clear sense of the why and the wherefore in your engagement with the senses. The fourth quality is seclusion. And that, of course, means getting off by yourself as much as you can. But it also means, as we saw in this passage we chanted just now, secluded from sensuality. You're sitting and you're working. And it's not fully engaging your mind. So often what happens is you start thinking thoughts of sensual pleasures, what you'd like to eat, what you'd like in other ways, in terms of sight, sound, smells, taste, tactile sensations. We can use that energy to focus on your breath. Seclude yourself from sensuality. Seclude yourself from unskillful qualities of mind. That's something you can do as you go through the day. And it definitely is a kind of meditation. Remember the word for meditation in Pali, bhavana, means to develop. You're trying to develop good qualities in the mind, and you can do that anywhere, in any situation. So when you have, the mind has spare energy to think, try to use it with the breath. Don't go wandering around your plans for sensual pleasures. Finally, the fifth quality, of course, is right view. Listening to Dharma talks, reading the Dharma. Keep your values in line with the values of the Noble Ones. And John Mun, the forest tradition as a whole, we tend to think of as being very Thai. But when it was getting started, the people in Thailand complained that it wasn't in line with Thai customs or Lao customs. And John Bunn's response was always said, I'm not interested in the customs of the Thais or the Laos. I'm interested in the customs of the noble ones. How they view things, how they regard things, what their values are. So try to keep your values in line with the values of the noble ones, which is that the big problem in life is the suffering you're causing yourself. But the solution lies inside. The source of the problem lies inside. This is where your main interest should be. So these are ways in which, no matter what the external environment is, you can create an environment for the mind that's conducive for the practice as a whole. Not just being with the breath, not just developing concentration or insight, but thinking of all the qualities you need to develop. Remember, we're training the citta. The word citta in Pali means both heart and mind. The part that figures things out, the mind, has to be supported by the part that wants what's good, wants a reliable happiness, that wills things properly. So to develop the entire heart and mind, you have to develop all the qualities of heart and mind that are on the side of awakening. And that can be done wherever you are. Simply that the particular issue that you have to work on may not be the one you wanted to work on, but obviously it's the one you've got to work on. So here's your chance. When you have that attitude, then you can practice the Dharma cheerfully wherever you are.